He is the first-year head football coach of the University of Memphis Tigers. He's Coach Charles Huff. He joins us now on Sports 56 Mornings. You can follow Coach on Twitter at Coach Huff. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Man, we're doing great. Hope you're doing well. We got a lot to get into, and we appreciate your time. First of all, Coach, what did you learn just in general? What did you learn about your team from spring ball when you finally got these guys on the field for the first time after recruiting them?
There's a few things. From a character and disposition standpoint, these guys love football. We didn't have one day this spring where it was kind of like pulling teeth to get the effort out of them, which typically, somewhere in the middle after a good scrimmage, their bodies are sore and, they're a little draggy. We didn't have that. They came out every single day with really good energy and really good effort. I think from a physical standpoint, we're big and we're fast. Now, I say that with limited perspective. The one thing that I don't have that I had at the other two places is a little bit more of an understanding of what the league was like.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit blind to that. I haven't played in this league. We haven't played a team in this league for 2 or 3 years, so there's a lot of change. So I don't know what the, there's sometimes you go through a season and you know certain programs, regardless who the head coach is, who the players are, they have a certain level of toughness or a certain level of discipline. So I don't know that about this conference, but looking at our guys and what I can control, I know we're big and we're fast, which should allow us to play big and fast and aggressive.
With that, when you're putting with so many new guys coming together, that first spring practice for you, like, is it, how much of it is for you is assessment of what you've got and who you've got? And like, you went and made a couple of late portal additions, I'm assuming, because you looked and said, oh, maybe we're a little thin here, whatever, versus trying to implement what you're trying to do.
Yeah, well, I think you got to start with implementing your culture and setting the foundation. It's like building a house. If you don't get the groundwork done in the beginning, you can't go back and do it. So you got to do that, because until you set a foundation and establish what's allowed, what's not allowed, what you're going to accept, what's your culture, then you can't really evaluate if the kids can or cannot conform. Mm-hmm. So I think that's always the first thing. And then you have to really look at, okay, what and who do we have, right? We have these schemes and we have these ideas, but, the whole month of May, we've gone back and said, okay, based on what we know now and about the talent pool, what can we do and what can we build on? We've had to pivot some different ways, not necessarily drastically, but we've had to pivot some different ways because there are things that our guys do better. So we got to spend a little bit more time in that and expand on that side. There were some things that we did that our guys didn't do great, so we got to get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more or less setting your foundation and culture to give the kids a chance to conform to who you want them to be. And then once you do that, then you can say, okay, now I know what they can do. Let's change everything schematically around their abilities.
In a limited amount of time that you get in the spring, 15 practices and off-season workouts and things of that nature, guys doing a lot of stuff on their own. But when you were out there on the field with those guys for those practices and the meetings, do you sense the chemistry already, or does that still need time for that to build?
Well, I think it's, you can sense it, but you can't test it until adversity hits,
mm-hmm,
right? We can all go, to Central Barbecue and sit down and have a great meal, but until somebody's ribs come out not the way they want them, we don't know if they're going to throw them back at them or what.
That
right?
never happens, right. Coach.
So,
there.
Yeah. So, but you have to one, you got to go through something to find out, is it true, connectivity, or is it fake, right? Everybody thinks right now they're going to start. Well, the reality is we can only run 11 out there, and it's probably going to be on a kicking unit.
Right.
So the reality of it is we don't know yet, right? You guys haven't written all of your preseason projections, and this person's projected to be this. And, we don't know how all those things affect these young men because they're still 18 to 22-year-olds. So we're trying to make sure we start to set the foundation of what it takes to get through adversity together. We won't be able to test it until we hit adversity. One of the big parts of it will be this summer, right? There's not going to be as much coach-driven focus. It's going to be some player leadership, right? So when you have leadership, who's willing to lead, who's willing to follow. When we get into camp and the temperature here in Tennessee gets a little warmer in those days where you got to grind it through, right? Who's willing to do that? And then we're going to have to go into a game and somebody's going to have to run out there first, right? How do you respond? I would love to say we win every game and nobody scores on us, but they're going to get a first down. They're going to score a touchdown. How do we respond when that happens? You know, we got to go travel together for the first time across the country, right? No one knows what our travel routine is. So how do they respond to that? So that's where a lot of the question still lies. We've got to do everything we can from a coach's standpoint to kind of work through and teach them those things before it happens so at least they know how to handle it.
You mentioned with the projections and people haven't done this, there are odds and things that are out there. And just generally in a preseason, when picks and projections come out, do you like it for your team to be projected at the top and be the hunted? Or do you kind of like maybe, hey, they might be overlooking us a little bit and that's a reason to get a chip on our shoulder?
I think it really, I mean, it's all, as Coach Saban would say, rat poison. But I think it's really the maturity level on your team. And that doesn't always bode to, hey, we got a lot of seniors and we got a lot of juniors. If you've got a team that is immature in that stuff matters, then you have to use it and you have to try to explain how it can cause traps. If you have a mature team, it doesn't matter. You can stay focused on the goal. And we try to create that maturity by letting them know it's going to happen. There's going to come out with all of these rankings, and there's going to come out with all of these projections. But that doesn't mean anything if you don't execute. I think in my past, we've been picked fifth, and we've won it. We've been picked first, and we damn near came in last. So I've seen it happen on both sides. Now, again, that's an adult speaking. It's going through some things. These kids, their life is driven through Instagram and what someone says about them. So I think as the adults, we have to teach a little bit of life lesson that the only thing that matters is what you do, not what someone says or thinks about you. It's harder to do now because everything is so readily available at their thumbs. But I think you really got to determine the maturity level of your team before you can say you use it, you don't use it, you want to be picked last, you don't want to be picked for whatever it is.
Memphis Tigers head football coach Charles Huff joining us on the program here on Sports 56 Mornings. I heard you at the end of spring talk about the quarterback battle, and I know you love the quarterback room, but the top two guys that seem to be battling for that starting job, Marcus Stokes, Aaron Nolan, about all the things you need to see from them during the summer, from practice and going out there with receivers, tossing around the ball, getting to practice, or all those other things that they need to do. But the bottom line is going to be when they get out there on the field in August as they continue this battle, because I know you said that the job has not been won. When do you expect and when do you hope to have your starting quarterback in your eyes and then maybe announced?
What time is the first game?
First time, I don't know what the time is, but I know it's August 29th.
Okay, well, August 29th, about 30 seconds before kickoff, we'll send out a tweet to the world so everyone can know and feel great about who the star. Honestly, and to me, I've been there, I've been through it, and I get it, right, from a fan perspective, wanting to know. But there's a lot that comes with that decision. One of those guys is not going to be the starter. And that drastically is going to affect his mental disposition. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to have to work through the adversity of it, but one of them's not going to be. The team needs to know at some point who that person is, right? Because they got to kind of rally behind that person. But we can't make a decision too fast because we don't have all the information. Mm-hmm. And I think the best thing that can happen for either one of them is the fierce competition. It's going to make them better. So we're not kind of trying to play the game, but we don't know. We just got to be prepared and have all the information. Like I say, this summer is going to be huge because it's going to really tell me about who they are without a helmet. You know, what type of leader are they? What type of person are they? How do they respond? What do they do in their free time? And then going into camp. Now, we're going into camp with a little shorter window because of playing in week zero. So we'll have to get in a seat sooner. But to me, it doesn't matter if it's 30 seconds before kickoff or 2 weeks before the game. We just got to have all the information, and we got to make sure that we prepare both of them to be the starter and prepare both of them to be ready to be the starter if you're not, if that makes sense.
Yeah. While you guys have gone through spring and now you're again focusing on everything, trying to get your new team together, a lot of stuff off the field. So where do you stand on the whole college football playoff size, and what is the correct size for you?
Well, let me first acknowledge that my opinion is as low on the totem pole as probably anyone else. I do believe there is arguments for both. I'm a little bit different. If you're asking me just my personal standing on the tee box, you and I having fun opinion, I think it should stay at 12. The reason I think it should stay at 12 is because I think there is a sacredness to our game in college football that makes those 12 spots really hard to get to. And I think that's what drives teams in the summer. That's what drives coaches to be better. I get fully understand the value and the resources that created that are created when you enlarge it to 16 or 24. I get that. I still think our world is in a little bit of everybody wins, everybody gets a trophy mentality. Yep. It's not like that. If you want to make the 12, and this is coming from a person who's probably the farthest away from making the 12-team playoff with the way it is now, just because of the parameters. Mm-hmm. Win all your games. Win all your games.
Yeah.
They won't keep you out. I promise you they won't. And that's just the reality of it. I mean, and I know that sounds harsh, but the reality is if we go to 24, you're going to have a conversation with me. I'll probably be coaching at Whitehaven High School as the backup running back coach or something by then 10 years from now. And you're going to say, well, should we go to 48? Should we go to 50? Right? Look at college basketball. They're at 64. They just went to 72 or 74. It's going to continue to do that. Now, I am fully aware and I understand the resources and the created value that it creates from a monetary standpoint for these schools.
Mm-hmm.
But remember now, 20 years ago, a computer system picked two teams.
Yeah.
And you went and won the title. Then we went to four games or four teams, right? And we battled it out. There's not going to be a perfect number. Win all your games.
Yeah.
There will always be people complaining. Stop trying to create
avenues for it. Stop trying to create avenues for another team. If you're 8-4, you're not a national champion.
Yeah.
It's simple. I don't understand the issue. Now, again, I have zero dog in the fight. But when I was growing up, the national champions were 10-1, 11-0, 12-0, 10-1. Like, it wasn't the 8-4 team who got into the playoffs and got hot. You're not a national champion. That's the playoffs that my son plays in Little League Baseball, where everybody makes it and everybody's got a bat.
Man, well, that's refreshing.
And the thing, too, from your perspective, if they go to 24, it's not like it's going to open up a bunch of more spots for the group of six. It's going to be all those other power conference teams that are getting those spots and probably still one group of six.
And trust me, I'm saying this from the seat of a group of six head coach who probably has the hardest opportunity or the hardest lane to make.
Yeah.
When I go in our team room, I don't talk about let's go 8-4 and hope they let us in. Let's win every single day. Let's win every single day. And then make them keep a 12-0 team out.
All right, a couple more things with head coach Charles Huff. I know you're worried about your team. You're worried about wins, and that's what it's all about. But also, of course, to get the product out there, to sell the tickets. I know there's some excitement. What are people saying to you as you meet more people now since you arrived in Memphis about the football team, the excitement, the stadium being renovated? It's going to be absolutely beautiful. Is there a buzz?
Yeah, I think it is. And I think it's a little bit different. I've taken a different approach. I'm asking the fans that I meet, what do I need to do and what do we need to do as a university to get you to the games, right? We've been asking for years and years and years, come to the game, come to the game. You need to come to the game. Oh, there's a buzz, there's a buzz. No, what do we need to do to get you to come? You know, it's obviously there's a limit on what we can do ticket price-wise, but if there's a ticket price adjustment that we can do, we'll do it. If we've got to create more avenues for you to get flow into the game more efficiently, I think the new renovation has done that. If there's more tailgating spots, I think we got to change our approach a little bit if we want to continue to improve our product. You know, we always say, hey, come to the game. You got to come to the game. You got to come to the game. But we never ask the customer, what do you need to see more of? Right? Because once that happens and we're able to do that, now you should be able to come. But right. I think there's a buzz right now that is out there. The new stadium is going to be great. Obviously, this season, there's a lot of anticipation. We've got to play well. I'm not one of these coaches that think if we play like crap, you should come to the game. You mm-hmm. shouldn't. I would not go pay to see a bad movie. That doesn't make any sense. But I do think there is a little bit of you have to pay the price for success before the success comes. So we got to get the season ticket sales up. We got to get people coming to the games, because what we're trying to do nationally, which is make the move forward to stay in this race of where college football is, we have to be able to show that we have a true, live, living fan base that supports. So it goes both ways. If we want to change our future, we've got to change what we do now. And we're willing to have those conversations about what can we do to make the game and the game day atmosphere and the travel and all that more appealing. Obviously, there's things we can't do. We can't just give away free tickets, right, and say that the stadium's full. But if there are some things we can do, partnering with some groups to get some ticket discounts and all those things, we're open to doing that. But we still need to, once that's done, we got to come.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Coach, you mentioned earlier something about first tee box. I was, I don't know. Do you play golf?
You know what? I've played 2 times this year, so I am at my max for the yearly rounds of golf that I play. I had to play in one charity golf event, and I'm sure the people that paid to play with me were asking for a refund. And I played a little bit before then to try not to embarrass myself, which did not happen. So, I play golf about 3 or 4 times a year. And I trust me, I buy more balls from Walmart than I do from golf.com. So you can understand where my shots go.
So what do you do to get away from, like, what is your thing? Like, to, if you want to clear your head over the summer when you've got, like, I just want to get away from football. What do you do to get away from football?
I don't really have that urge to get away from it. I'm obsessed with it. I do have the urge to make sure I try to give time back to my family in the summer. My 13-year-old, who will be 14 on Monday, is heavy in the AAU circuit. Okay. So I don't get to see a lot of his games, obviously, throughout the year. So in the summer, June and July, you know, they hit the road for their kind of big tournament. So I try to be present for those. Obviously, my wife and I, you know, we see each other every night, but it's literally for – you know, the hour or so that we get. So we try to go in the summer and spend time together. But I don't get away from it. I'm obsessed with it. You know, I think Kobe Bryant said it, you know, if you're obsessed with something, you don't need a break from it. You know, it's just phases you go through. So instead of thinking about third down in June and July, I'm thinking about what do we need to do to get the team more connected, yeah. Right? What do we need to do to eliminate what I've heard about, and again, this is not a knock, but the UAB letdown during the season, right? Like, what do we need to do to eliminate the ebbs and flows? How can I be more connected with the coaches to give them what they want? And then, obviously, in season, you're thinking about third down and, you know, first down and what, you know, who do we want to attack? But I don't want to get away from it because I love it. I guess that would be the same as, like, saying you want to get away from your family. Like, I love them, so I know I don't want to get away from it, but I do think there are phases, right? Because obviously you can't be thinking about what's first play of the game going to be, you know, 6 months from now, but you can be thinking about how do you get the players ready to run that first play? How do we get the players ready to be more physically in shape? So that's kind of me. I'm a boring guy, but I love what I do. I think I'm doing what I'm called to do, so I don't ever want to get away from it. But I do try to give back to my family because it's a huge sacrifice mm-hmm. to be a family yeah. of a head coach, right? I mean, most of the time these 105 guys see me more than my 4 and 2 year old because right. they're usually asleep yeah. when I get home. So that's what I try to do as the trade-off for time.
It's a big sacrifice. There's no question about it. So go to GoTigersGo.com. You can find out more information about tickets and things of that nature. Plus, Tigers on Tour, Coach Huff and other coaches are I guess, 3 more events that'll be coming up. You had the one earlier in the week. Also, as far as the Coach Huff football camps are concerned, that's coming up. You can register and get your kids over there to learn football the proper way. A lot of things happening. I know you're going to reschedule the Fan Fest, do something in August. That still has to be announced. So a lot of things coming up, even during the, I guess, the, I'm using air quotes here, Coach, the slow time of the year. He is